Okay. Well, Marcus asked me about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? This has been on my mind ever since. I'll be honest with you, I think I even told a couple of people. Man, I can't wait till Sunday afternoon. Had all the kids club this week and then that, but, you know. And it'll go a little bit along with what I'm planning on talking about today. Yesterday afternoon I was mowing, and I've always enjoyed mowing. If you can put on your headphone, you can listen to a podcast or some preaching or, you know, music, whatever. And mowing, it's kind of relaxing for me, and you can get a lot of thinking done. I got a lot of thinking done yesterday when I was mowing. But I was thinking to myself, you know, why am I so anxious for this to be over? I mean, other than the obvious of coming up before all y'all, and y'all very scary, especially Joel, very disturbing. But, you know, I should be excited. Like, I get to share the word of God. I get to share to you what my Jesus has done for me. And, I mean, this is something I should be excited about. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Is being bold. How do we be bold in God? How do we be bold for Him? And, you know, there's a lot of different things that people do, try to do to be bold, to be confident. And even this morning, I was kind of nervous about it, so, you know, I got up, I showered, my hair looks great, I'm wearing nice clothes, I didn't put cologne on. Y'all can't smell me from down there, okay? I put all that on because it, you know, it makes me feel a little confident about myself. You know, I can go up there, you know, and I know William's not going to be thinking to himself, man, he's got hair out of place. But, you know, what does that matter? Like, if my hair was all up in the corner, or if I was wearing a t-shirt that says, you know, girl power, does that take away from my message? Y'all might view me a little bit different, but the words stay the same. I shouldn't have less confidence delivering the word of God based on how I look. And so let's talk about that a little bit. My notes are, I would write something down, and I'd move on to something else, and I'd think about something that I would have moved on to, so I'd make a little correction, a little note there. So every now and then, there's a pause, and I'm shuffling some papers. I'm trying to find out where I'm at. So if you'll just bear with me. So let's talk about your worth, your value. Because ultimately, that's how you can know, that's how you can be bold, how you can be confident in what you're speaking. You know, for an example, I'm a builder. So if I'm talking to someone about how to build a house, I can be bold, I can be confident in that, because I know how this house gets built. Now, I can be bold, confident, talking to, you know, really, I'm just going to pick on William, because why not? But, because, you know, he doesn't know how to frame up a house. He can be bold and confident, and actually, he's done a lot of stuff. I'm just going to say he's done it. But he can be bold and confident in talking about how to drive this roof, and how to put concrete down. Because I had no idea. And you know, he knows what his knowledge is and what's his worth. So what's your worth? If we're talking monetary value, according to Google, which Google knows who you are, the average American, liquidate all his assets, house, car, blah, blah, blah. In other words, we'll imagine the average family is about $120, whatever, $1,000, house, all that. Alright? Compared to the world, that's, we're rich. Okay, but let's go to Elon Musk, richest man in the world. How much do you think he's worth? $201 billion. I did some math. If he was to own $1 every second, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on and so forth. You don't earn $86,400 in one day. At that rate, it would take you about 6,400 years to get to the area where Elon Musk is. Now, can you have, like, if there was a conference, we're going to make it a conference scale, and we want to tell people how they can make money. Okay, Ashton, you're one of the guest speakers. Right after you, or before, whichever is more normal, Elon Musk is coming. How confident are you going to be that what you're going to be sharing is going to be what these people need to do? Like, Elon Musk, why am I coming? But you know, there is something that we have Elon Musk can never buy. No amount of money, no amount of possessions, whatever, private. When I was in at that REACH program a few months back, I attended this breakout session on, I think the title was Effective Ways to Teach the Bible. And he was talking about, you know, doing a sermon of your teaching, whatever. He said, if you want interaction, you need to do so in the course of 5 minutes or so. I'm not sure if I'm within that 5 minutes or not, but we're going to try to get a little bit of interaction. So, this is that pause where I look at my notes. Alright, so, what are some of your characteristics? Like, what are some of the things that define the name, or other words, not to be confused with other words? Now, I'll do a couple, but I would like to hear a couple from you guys. Alright, what are my characteristics? I'm tall. My mom says I'm good looking. And I feel housed. There's a few people, if you wouldn't mind, just one, two things, whatever. Just throw something out, it could be anything.
Second language.
So, is it a second language?
Brown hair.
Brown hair?
Very dependable.
Very dependable.
Love ice cream.
Loves ice cream. I think we can all get behind that one.
Competitive.
What's that?
Competitive.
Competitive?
I was talking about you.
Oh. No, we don't have time to go through that. No, but you know, those are all good. But you know, based on those characteristics, we can have pride in those. I can have pride, I'm tall, you know a second language, or you're competitive, or you got fabulous brown hair. But you know, there's always, there's someone taller than me, someone who knows 8 different languages, someone who's even more dependable than you. I'm giving you a hard time. But we can't put our confidence in that. Because in the same case with Elon Musk, well, man, we got, you know, this much money. We're rich compared to all these other guys. There's always another one. There's always a bigger fish or whatever. That our confidence, well, we can be confident with this guy, can't be with this guy, because our confidence is built on something that's limited. So what should be our defining characteristics? When someone asks, who are we? I'm not going to say, well, I'm a tall, handsome, all those other adjectives my mom uses to describe me. You know, what do I need to be saying? I'm a child of God. Marcus, you're a child of God. Josiah, Rodney, Clay, Tyler, you're a child of God. Let's not glaze over that. Do we realize what we're saying, what that means? What are we worth? Like, not in money value, what are we worth? What defines what we are worth? In all other cases, what defines what something is worth is, what is What is be willing to do?
Okay.
What would someone pay to obtain that? That's ultimately what it's for. I can value, you know, I have a silver dollar, perhaps. Okay, if I was to take that to Walmart, use it as currency, that's a dollar. It's a pretty obvious dollar. If I was to go on eBay and to collect those or whatever, that might be worth $50. I'm not sure exactly, but you get the idea. So, what was paid for you? What was paid for you to become a child of God? Jesus dying on the cross? Yeah. I mean, that is what it is, but what all happened? What all entails there? Was it the physical pain? Yeah, that's part of it. Physical pain was immense. The more and more you look into it, every breath, agony. But no, it goes so much beyond that. I mean, that was God's son. That was Joel. That was Evan. Jamie. That was Shane, or one of your other kids. Not only did Jesus have to sacrifice so much to be on them, but something was sacrificed for him to be there by God. This is it might be a little cheesy, but just help me kind of picture in my mind what was sacrificed, what happened there. Just a little story from about the cross, not so much about the cross, but more the Garden of Gethsemane, but what it was like from God's point. There's a lot left out, a lot of places you could go with it. Let me read it to you. The moment has finally arrived. My only son, who set out on a mission all those years ago with the goal of turning my creation, who had rejected me, back to me, having humbled himself by becoming one of my created beings, taking on the form of sinful flesh, he has lived a life among me as one of them. Being have to deal with every temptation known to man, yet lived a perfect and blameless life. Even as Judas the betrayal heads for the Garden of Gethsemane, I can hear my son speak. Oh, Father, Daddy, I don't want to go through this with this. If there was any way that this cup could be passed from me, make it happen, please. I look on him with sorrow, and I send my angel to strengthen him, to encourage him. But he prays again, all the more earnestly. He says, Dad, let there be a way for this cup to pass from me. I don't want the shame, the filth, and the punishment of the whole world's sins on me. With sin, with tears in my eyes, I looked upon my son. I can hear his frantic breathing. I can smell his sweat mixed with blood as it pours from his temple and soils his clothes. I spoke. There is no other way. The debt of their sin is beyond what they have redeemed. So you will take on their sin and shame, and I will pour my wrath and my justice upon you. And I will strike you down and use the blood of your sacrifice to cleanse my children forever and ever, that they might know my peace and my love that I have for them. So again, what are you for? What was paid for you? The Son of the Most High God died specifically for you, for me. We are the authority. when we go into Walmart and we see someone and we feel like, well, I should share Jesus with them, are we going to be timid? Like, no, who am I to tell them? I'll tell you who you are. You're the Son. You're the Son of the Most High God. If you can, if you want to turn to Romans 8. I was studying about this, and I read Romans 8, and I'll try not to spend too long on it. I was trying to pick out pieces of Romans 8 to go with my message here, but the more and more I read it, it's like, man, I just need to do a little less talking so I can read this. This is powerful. I'll read the fourth part, give a little context, and then verse 12 then is where I really want you to start paying attention. I am reading in the New King James, but you know, it's a little bit different from your Bible. Son of verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not to subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed in the Spirit of God dwells, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Those are the children of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Pay close attention to the next two verses. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Let me stop right there. Did everybody just read that? Like, we torn from God. We wanted to live in our sinful flesh. We rebelled. We cursed God. And, you know, what would be fair would be eternal damnation, right? Okay, and then, so Jesus comes, he dies. He can wipe our sins clean. So the next thing would be, okay, well, because of that, we can just get to heaven, but then we're going to serve God eternally forever as slaves, as bond soldiers. That would be the next thing, right? Because, I mean, we would never be able to pay that off. And we are servants of God. I don't want to take away from that. But that's not who we are. We are sons and daughters of God.
Joint heirs.
Joint heirs. Amen. The next part talks about joint heirs. Listen carefully.
For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not to us, not compared to the glory that we will see, but to the glory that will be revealed in us. The status that we will be given is glory beyond what we can think of. For the honest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. All of creation is waiting for this. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even us who have Christ in us right now, who have Jesus, who are the sons of God in Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and redemption of our body. Right now, we are saved, we are sons of God, but we hope in the redemption of our body. We hope in the redemption of ourselves. That's not something that we have. We still have sinful nature. We still, our natural inclination is to rebel and go our own way. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? For if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for the perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know if anyone's, I'm sure, a couple of you, I'm sure, maybe all of you, who have been in so much pain, so much anguish, so much turmoil within yourself, and you just come before you, before God, and you just don't know what to say. What can you say? You know, I'm in pain, that doesn't really quite fit it. Like, there's just no words for how, what I'm experiencing right now. And right here it says the Spirit himself knows how we feel. He makes intercession for us. He knows what needs to be said. Now, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But we know all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Right now, we are in the stage of foreknew. God knows us. He knows where we're going. He knows we're coming home. But we're not there yet. So he has predestined. He has predestined, predetermined that we have a body up there, one that is conformed to the image of the Son. Moreover, he predestined these, he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. So again, who are you? Are you someone who has no authority, someone who cannot talk to Jesus about people? Talk to people about Jesus. Yeah, I'll get there. Let's keep going, because I want to talk about approaching people with boldness. We know who we are. We know that there is no higher authority on earth than God, Jesus, through us. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son.
God did not spare his son,
but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and for the more is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us?
Marcus, God is at Jesus at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. He says that I saved Marcus right there. My blood covers his sin and his shortcomings.
He is mine. And he is mine, and I am his. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead. Lord, Father, Dad, we thank you today. We praise and glorify your name. Lord, you have redeemed us beyond our wildest expectations. You haven't redeemed us, Lord, to just being slaves or bond servants to you, Lord. You have redeemed us to your family, Lord, that we can approach this life with boldness, knowing, Lord, if you are for us, who can be against us? Who shall stand in our way to accomplish your will? There is nothing, Lord, and there never will be, that can compete with your awesomeness. Lord, I pray that you be with us as we leave from here, so that we can be bold, we can be brave, but we can be confident in knowing that the message that we have brings a power with it, unlike anything else. In your holy name, we pray.
God, you still want to open that, or do you want to close that?